Are you a forgiving person? Is there anything that you cannot forgive? Let that sink in for a minute as we hear our text for today from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." The great preacher Peter Marshall, who was very influential as the chaplain to the U.S. Senate during World War II, gave a sermon once called "Praying is Dangerous Business." And I think this particular request of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us," is a dangerous prayer to pray. Because if we pray that with an unforgiving heart, we're actually asking God not to forgive us. Lord, teach us to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, you have told us very clearly what this prayer means, that if we refuse to forgive those who sin against us, you will not forgive our sins. Lord, teach us how to pray this dangerous prayer rightly, and in so doing, lead us into a deeper relationship with you and with those we live with, work with, are related to, or just encounter in our daily lives. Oh Lord, teach us to pray rightly. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our debts, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you again, are you a forgiving person? Or are there some things that you cannot forgive? I mean, murder may be where you would draw the line. Maybe, you know, you can forgive everything, but forgiving that? I have a thick file folder of illustrations that are just gripping to me, because those who profess the name of Jesus Christ are able to do exactly that. The illustration from Charleston, South Carolina, just, what was that, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where a young man, 21 years old, walked into a black church, attended a Bible study, at the end of the Bible study, pulled out a gun and began shooting the 12 people that were in that room for no other reason than he was white and they were black, and that he thought he could start a race war. Only 3 survived that. But days later, family members of the slain were able to personally confront the killer through a closed circuit television as he was arraigned, and amazingly, blows me away, these family members were able to look at this killer and say, "What you did was evil, but I forgive you. I forgive you. My family forgives you." One young man, Anthony, speaking for his extended family, said, "We want you to take this opportunity to repent. Choose Jesus. Live your life for the one who can change your life. Repent for your sake." Wow, that kind of forgiveness, even in the face of the worst of sins, of murder. And yet, we can do that Because Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, even as we have forgiven the sins of others. This is the only request, the only petition of the Lord's Prayer that comes with a condition, a requirement to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And so I've called this the requirement of prayer, and I want us to plumb the depths of what that means for us. Like I said, it's a dangerous prayer to pray. It's a difficult prayer to pray, and we should never quickly skip over this. We should never pray the Lord's Prayer without understanding the gravity of this particular request that Jesus taught us to pray, because we cannot ask the Lord to forgive our sins if we are unforgiving of others. And let us take a look at that. I've struggled with this petition at times because I've asked myself, well, is this then the unforgivable sin? Is unforgiveness the one sin that God won't forgive? Because Jesus clearly said, if you refuse to forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your sin. Is it indeed the unforgivable sin? And it has helped me to understand it in this way, that if we cannot forgive others their sin, is it because we've never fully accepted the horror of our own sin and the full price that Jesus paid to forgive it? Maybe we've never truly accepted just how great our sin is and accepted the great grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we minimize our own sin, we minimize the grace of God, and we keep ourselves from extending that grace to others. It's really all about grace. God is saying, receive fully my grace, and if you do so, you will forgive others just as you have been forgiven. We can get mixed up in this petition here because, you know, is it debts or trespasses or just plain sins? And all three of those words, Bible words, are used in this and in different context of the Lord's Prayer. And they all are the same thing, different dimensions of the same reality, that we have a debt that we simply cannot pay. Oftentimes we think, well, maybe my sin isn't all that bad. And I can't tell you how many times I've actually heard people tell me this. He says, well, I have never murdered anyone. And the response is, oh, really? Never? You haven't heard where Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders is liable to the judgment of hell. But I tell you that if you are angry with your brother, if you call your brother a fool, you have the same judgment. Wow. Jesus says, yes, we are guilty of murder. And if we think we can skip off on that one, we are all guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ. We have all contributed to his death on the cross. We cannot say my sin isn't all that bad. As we take this journey through prayer to the cross and beyond, we need to put our attention front and center on that cross, because it is the cross that exposes the depth of our sin. The cross exposes just how ugly and how horrible our sin really is. A number of years ago, 2006, a 31-year-old man walked into the schoolhouse in Pennsylvania, of an Amish schoolhouse, and shot 13 little girls. That's horrible. I think five of them died, and the rest were critically injured. And we think, God, why? And how horrible. That made the front pages of the press across the country. What else made front page press across the country? What shocked the nation just as much as that horrible murder was that these Amish people that night were able to go to the widow of that killer and say, we want you to know we forgive what your husband did. We want you to know that we're praying for you because you're probably in great torment right now. We want you to know that we're taking up a collection so that your kids will have an education later on. We want you to know that we're there for you and here we brought you a meal. Wow. That's the kind of love that we can extend only because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So the cross exposes the depth of our sin, and the horror of the sin is, if we can imagine the greatest horror of sin possible, we have to say, my sin is equally as horrible in the sight of God. We have offended His righteousness. We have offended His purity. He made us in His image. He made us to be holy, and we are not. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, and you who were dead in your trespasses. How bad was it? We were dead in our trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, and God made us alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, all of our sins, and by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands, He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. The cross stands forever as the payment of our debt. He took the record of our debt and wrote across it in His own blood, paid in full. The cross exposes the depth of our sin, the horror of our sin. And the Bible says that we ought to be crushed by that sin. The word contrite literally means to be crushed. A contrite heart, a crushed heart, O God, you will not despise. And that's the only posture that we can have before such a horror as the cross and what Jesus suffered upon that cross and endured upon that cross. We heard the account of the unmerciful servant, one who was forgiven a great debt. It was just canceled. What was it? 10,000 talents? Commentators say in the days prices, maybe $50 million. As we were doing this in the Bible study, somebody said, how could any employer allow his employee to rack up a $50 million debt? Well, you know, New York Times, January 25th, 2008, reported this. A French bank announced Thursday that it had lost $7.2 billion because a 31-year-old employee made bad bets on stocks and then, in trying to cover up those losses, dug himself deeper into a hole. In a bank especially, there are numerous checks and balances, and he was able to weasel his way around all of them and for months incurred a $7 billion debt. How would you like to have to pay that one off? Could you? Folks, our debt to God is greater still. We cannot pay it. Jesus Christ has paid it on the cross. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And why blood? Well, the book of Hebrews explains that. 9:22, it says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why? Leviticus 17:11 explains it. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's a basic biological fact that animal life is in the blood. And it goes on to say this, I have given it to you, I've given you this lifeblood on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Blood is life. And Jesus Christ gave his life as an atonement for our sin. It's the most costly substance in the universe. For we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the blood of Christ. So the cross exposes the depth of our sin, but the cross also reveals the fullness of God's love. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Later in that same chapter, it talks about us being the enemies of God. God was willing to die for his enemies. Matthew 5, verses 43 and 45 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. The cross reminds us that there is no sin that is unforgivable. There is no sin that's unforgivable except to refuse the forgiveness that Jesus offers. If we refuse the forgiveness that he offers, how else can we be forgiven? If we refuse the blood shed for us, and if we haven't fully understood that blood shed for us, we won't be willing to forgive others either. And so, in understanding the depth and horror of our own sin, to understand the cost and the great love that was shown to us on the cross through Jesus Christ, then the cross also opens the way for us to forgive other people. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We've been given grace. Our debt's been paid. We can't collect the debt of any other person. That's been wiped out. The slate has been wiped clean. Jesus said in Luke 6:37, judge not that you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Every act of forgiveness is a proclamation of the gospel. Every act of forgiveness, every time that we say, what you did to me hurt me greatly. What you did took away something that is so precious that it can never be replaced. And yet, because I've been forgiven greatly by my Lord, I forgive you. Every act of forgiveness becomes a proclamation of the gospel that I forgive because I've been forgiven. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for me. It's because of the grace God gave me, because I did not deserve it. The other person may not deserve your forgiveness. They probably don't. That's not the object, because we didn't deserve the forgiveness we were given. Oh, 20 years ago, just before the time when I came to this congregation, the missionary Graham Staines and his two sons, Philip, age 10, and Timothy, age 8, were asleep in their car in a village in the state of Orissa in India. This was a part of India that is pretty volatile. But they were bravely witnessing on the streets and then at night slept in their vehicle. As he and his son slept, a group of militant Hindus doused the vehicle with gasoline and set it ablaze, then prevented them from exiting the car and kept anybody who would want to rescue them away. The horrific killing called attention to the increasing violence against Christians in India, but the remarkable witness of his widow, Gladys Staines, called attention to the overwhelming power of God's love and forgiveness. Many people thought she'd pack her bags up and leave. The Staines had been involved in the ministry to people with leprosy, opened up their home and were so giving and so caring and was repaid in this way. And they thought for sure they'd pack up their bags and go back to Australia where they came from. But Gladys says, no. When I was explaining to my daughter that her dad and the boys had been killed, we agreed that we would forgive those who did it. They buried them in the compound of this leprosy clinic, and they stayed to show Christ's love to those in India. She says, I can say from my own experience that forgiveness brings healing. She says, I've heard many stories of people who have come to Christ after seeing the way that we have accepted this. I heard a story from someone in a neighboring state who was distributing tracts, and one man who received a tract asked, is this the same Jesus that Gladys Staines believes in? And when told that it was, he says, I want to know that Jesus. The one who is able to forgive and bring forgiveness through them. Wow. I mentioned the shooter in Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the most gripping statements about that was from somebody that I read quite a bit, a well-known Jewish commentator who wrote this. Not being a Christian, I can only marvel at the dignity and courage of the victim's relatives who forgave the shooter. If I could ever manage such a thing, it would probably take me decades. It took them little over a day. Forgiveness is a proclamation of the gospel. And as we forgive, we remember, Lord, forgive me, even as I have had the privilege to forgive others. It's not forgive me, and then I will forgive others, but forgive me as I have forgiven others, as I've been doing that. And I can only do that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes and fills my heart with such love and such peace, who has paid the price for my sin. And so I've listed here a few questions as we end today. Have you been crushed by the horror of your sin? If we minimize our sin, we minimize the grace of God. Have we been crushed by the horror of our sin? Have you received the fullness of God's love and the forgiveness, His forgiveness by faith? And having received forgiveness by God's grace, are you extending that forgiveness to others? I hope you're challenged this morning. I certainly am. I'm always challenged by the many, many illustrations, and I could have picked dozens from this folder this morning. I'm challenged by that because I am not forgiving at the core of my being. You can ask my wife about that if you don't take my word for it. I need to daily come to the Lord on my knees and pray this petition. Lord, teach me to pray, forgive my trespasses, even as I forgive those who trespass against me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, indeed, help us to pray dangerously. Help us to pray with faith. Help us to pray with conviction because we have been forgiven. Help us never to lightly pray this prayer, oh Lord. But Father, help us to pray it with the full knowledge that as I ask for your forgiveness, that I commit myself to living a life of forgiveness toward others, that I commit myself to be living a life of compassion. I commit my life to forgive others even as I have been forgiven by you. Father, sear into my mind and my heart the truth that you gave us in Ephesians 4:32 when you told us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ you have forgiven us. Oh Lord, make us that kind of people who can pray this prayer boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.